Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Buffalo Bills absolutely beat the doors off of the Denver Broncos, 31-7.
Yeesh.
Starting off the action yesterday in the wild card round. But history was made right out the gate, and you said, hey, this Broncos team may be pretty good.
Out of the gun, Knicks fades back, seven-step drop, steps into a long, high-arcing throw, deep shot to Franklin, end zone touchdown! The rookie, Troy Franklin, over the top of multiple Bills defenders. It's 43 yards for the rook, Bo Nix, and 6-0 Denver.
You know that was the first rookie-to-rookie touchdown in NFL playoff history?
That's kind of hard to believe, but then you also it's not, because how often do you have both a rookie quarterback and or wide receiver?
I don't know. But it was, and it was Oregon Duck to Oregon Duck, too, which I don't know if we'll see that one again, of not just two rookies, but guys that played on the same team in college, too.
Yeah, that's incredibly likely.
That's pretty crazy. From there, it was all Denver Broncos. It was all Buffalo Bills. That game, you want to talk about winning at the line of scrimmage. The Buffalo Bills ransacked the Denver Broncos on both lines of scrimmage.
It was not close, you know.
Holy guacamole.
The Broncos had a very nice scripted series, which on that Knicks to Franklin touchdown was nice.
Well, and this is the thing. With the way that Denver started the game, they were ultra aggressive, right? You go and you take those shots. You have the fake punt, which is a thing of Marvel right there, where you know that the Gunners are going to not want to give up the inside, so they take off to the inside so quickly. You run just a simple out route, and your punter can just lob a ball to Marvin Mims and complete a first down. But then right after that, boom, three plays, you're back to punting again. You saw Sean Payton in creating the extra possession, creating extra opportunities, and you're like, okay, they're going to be wildly aggressive in this game, and if it backfires on them, it backfires on them, and they're going to lose. The second half, they were nothing like they were in the first half, and that was the wild part about it, is that all of that creativity, all of that, we are going to press Buffalo as much as we can. It left early in the game.
Yeah, they tucked tail. They got in the red zone, and it just felt like they didn't give themselves any opportunity whatsoever. And I mean, maybe that had a lot to do with what Buffalo was doing to them, because I mean, like you said, they just manhandled them. I mean, you want to talk about the things to beat home again over and over and over these games. Yes, it's the better quarterback play one, but time of possession, 41-43 to 18-17.
Well, that was incredible to see. Like,
goodness gracious.
In the first half, I was like, gosh, this seems like Buffalo has the ball all the time.
And
they had it for 19 and a half minutes in the first half. They had it for even more in the second half. Like, they just absolutely picked apart the entire Buffalo or Denver Broncos defense, and they were able just to hold on to it. And it wasn't like they were getting huge chunk yards on the ground.
Kept it moving.
It was first and second down, giving you third and manageable, and then you were just continued to, as John Madden would say, matriculate the ball down the field. And That was a masterclass. This Buffalo team, they look game, man. They look ready. They are
up and down the roster. It wasn't Josh Allen, everybody
Holy
hop on my back.
Smokes.
It was Shakir, it was Mal. You just kind
James
of like
James Cook, man.
They ran 30 more plays. They doubled them up on offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you just go down the list of things that happened in this game and you're just like, "Oh my sweet Jesus, what happened?" 17 carries for 79 yards. Like, okay, they ran for 4.6 yards per carry. Nice, but you didn't and couldn't do anything.
Well, because you're trying to throw the ball on first down, incompletions, they put you in long situations where it's like running the ball isn't feasible.
And if you take away Franklin's 43-yard catch, take 43 yards out of the 144, it's 101 yards passing the rest of the game.
Yep.
They could do nothing.
And that is a credit to Buffalo. And like this, that's exactly what we talked about heading into the game last week. When you have a veteran quarterback, and Josh Allen has seen so much football in the NFL, he has been in that system, he has been with Joe Brady for multiple years, you can go back and you can recall things and say, hey, remember when we did this? And you can adjust on the fly. You can add so much more depth to what you do offensively with a rookie quarterback. This is first year in. And especially in playoff football, like, you can't go put stuff in mid-game with Bo Nix and Sean Payton because they haven't been together long enough. None of those pieces have. And what we saw with Denver's a lot of what we saw with the Chargers, too. You have Cortland Sutton, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have Ladd McConkey in L.A. They need to upgrade their weapons around Bo Nix. That's nothing new.
No.
You have a good offensive line, and even they got, for as good as they've been this year, they got manhandled up.
They couldn't do anything.
They really did. And
the sacks didn't materialize, but there was just...
Well, in their inability to get to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like that...
That's a team that got after everyone.
They led the NFL in sacks by 9 over the next closest team. And they got to Josh Allen twice, which is nice. But you got to get... If you're going to do anything and you're going to make any noise against to upset a team, you got to get home a whole lot more. And they were just unable to do it. And as it is, like that Buffalo Baltimore game, that you said it, that may be the AFC Championship game. I mean,
the Chiefs
Kansas
are there,
City
but like,
is back to back Super Bowl champs. They're 15-2 in the number one overall seed. This game, though, it's everything you could want and a little bit more.
This Buffalo team, they threw for 250 and ran for 200 while also smothering the Broncos defensively.
Pretty good.
Where do you poke holes in that game for them?
Let's see. You win by 24. You put up 30.
You keep them to 7.
Don't give up that drive on the touchdown on the opening drive. What are you doing?
Have a better scripted defense.
Shut them out. There, did it.
There you go.
Shut them out.
Cowards.
Yeah. What are you doing? I mean, force them to punt there, and you have the ball for 43 minutes, and they have the ball for 17 minutes of that game. There, fixed it. Boom. That's what they could have done. It was a masterclass, and when James Cook can get going like that, alleviate a little bit of that pressure on Josh Allen, this is a really damn tough team to beat, and it goes back to, as well, you know, Patrick Surtain is a really good corner. But one of the hardest parts about defending this Buffalo team is that you don't sit there and say, all right, Surtain, eliminate wide receiver number one. Because look at the way that the distribution of the ball went. Curtis Samuel was the leading receiver on 3 catches. Khalil Shakir, 6 for 61. Dalton Kincaid, 3 for 47. Dawson Knox, 2 for 38. Ty Johnson, for goodness sakes, 2 for 26. Where do you stand on the touchdown, no touchdown?
Touchdown.
In the back of the end zone. A lot of folks say, ball was moving. And I'll just give it to them. I thought it was a touchdown, too. He got his arm underneath the ball. The ball didn't really move. But
how about the lack of pass interference in the back of the end zone?
What I think is, in that catch, the NFL really needs to change the rule on the same foot twice. We saw that a few times this year, where like a receiver will double tap like his left foot, but the right foot never goes down. On that Ty Johnson touchdown, he didn't get a toe down. He had 2 points of contact down, right? He got his leg and his arm were on the ground. His toes never touched out of bounds. The NFL should just be like 2 points of contact in bounds. That's a completed catch. Because if you're able to double tap one foot, that should be a catch.
Yes.
That should be a catch.
Why does it matter if it's the other foot?
No, just two, contact the ground twice, you're in.
Yeah.
That seems simpler than what they have right now.
Or, you know, your entire lower body on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what Ty Johnson did.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the holding where Bill Vinovich went and apologized to Josh Allen during
the one that happened 5 feet in front of his face.
I love that. Did you hear Josh Allen's response to that?
No.
He was asked about it because obviously social media is like, see, Patrick Mahomes isn't the only one that gets this treatment. And Bill Vinovich, if you missed it, during a timeout, he went up and he was talking with Josh Allen because Allen jumped down his throat over a holding in the end zone.
Every right to. He got bear hugged in the back of the end zone directly in front of the ref.
Yeah, that was not a good that was not a good stretch for the officials there. Well, Vinovich goes up and he like taps him on the chest and he's like, hey, you know what? Blah, blah, blah. You can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Josh Allen told him, or just said afterwards that Vinovich told him, you need to stop yelling at us or I'm going to penalize you. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do our job. That's when he's doing his, you know, hitting his mm-hmm. own chest. And he goes, you're trying to do your job. Like, hey, I'm going to penalize you if you don't shut up. And so Josh Allen said, all right, I'll shut up. And they said, all right, we're good. You're good. We're good. And they left. That happens a lot more than
God.
We think. But it was weird, the visual of him going over to the bench as Josh Allen's in his parka and having that conversation. That was a weird visual.
Look, I'll tell you right now, in the NBA, it happens all the time when they get a call that wrong. The next stoppage, the next timeout, they will go over to the coach, they will go over to the player and go, yeah, that's on us.
We don't see it all.
Yeah.
But you can't MF
me. When that's the thing is, when it's that bad and the player does MF him.
Yeah.
They say, look, you can't do that, but I'm going to let you do that one because, yeah, we did get it that wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's a give and take that happens a lot more often than you think.
Yeah. Broncos, though, if I'm a Broncos fan, I'm excited. I am excited. I'm excited about where that team is headed because you finally have the quarterback. Your offensive line played really well. Your defense was outstanding. You get a couple of playmakers. Your roster's not that far from being competitive in the playoffs. You were non-competitive this year. This was a surprise year. You make it to the playoffs, and you have a rookie play the way he did. Will you get a little bit of a regression? Yeah, sure, maybe. Maybe. But you are heading in the right direction if you're the Denver Broncos. I think the same thing for the Chargers as well. But the Broncos are young, and they're going to be pretty damn good if Sean Payton and Bo Nix can continue to unravel that playbook like they did over the course of year one.